You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
Coming your way here from our studios in the southwest side of Cedar Rapids, as well as the back porch in the southwest side. It is the Gym Class. Coming your way here on KGYM. Thank you for joining us on this Wednesday. Overcast day around eastern Iowa. Could see some rain a little bit later on. Not a bad thing. Could use a little bit of moisture out there. Chris Liss of rotowire.com is going to join us. We'll talk fantasy baseball with Chris coming up. We'll also take a look ahead to tomorrow's NFL draft with Chris, as far as fantasy-wise is concerned. And if you have a question for Chris, baseball, football, what have you, 319-366-1600, as he will join us from rotowire.com coming up just a little bit. And, of course, Chris coming on is brought to you by Imon Communications, the official sponsor of all things fantasy sports right here on KGYM. Great to have you with us as we take you through the 3 o'clock hour here on 1600 AM, 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, as well as the KGYM radio stream, mobile app, and your smart speaker as well as we come your way here on a Wednesday afternoon. And buttons on the other side of the glass. I'm Scott Unash, Mark Dukes from his home on the southwest side, joining me right now. And a pleasant good afternoon to you today.
And to you as well, and to Buttons and everyone out there. Not a bad day going on at all. Less than 30 hours until the NFL draft. And a lot of, there was a trade today that we'll talk about, and we've got a poll question in that regard. And I think a lot of folks anticipating with what may be a volatile draft. Who knows?
I think it will be. By the way, speaking of the poll question, it is brought to you by Hawkeye Title and Settlement. Steve Anderson and his team at Hawkeye Title and Settlement have been serving customers since 2003. And let's give the poll question right now.
Yeah, it's a good one too. Which quarterback would you take at number 3? Of course, that's assuming, and I agree that Trevor Lawrence and Zach Wilson would be the 1 and 2 off the board. The options here are Justin Fields, Mac Jones, or Trey Lance. That pick would go to the 49ers unless there's another trade. So go ahead and vote, KGYMRadio.com.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about that. We'll talk about it tomorrow as well, among other things, as the draft. Of course, you can hear it right here on KGYM starting at 6 o'clock tomorrow evening from ESPN Radio. First round coming up from Cleveland tomorrow night, and then rounds 2 and 3 coming up on Friday evening, and then throughout Saturday, it'll be rounds 4, 5, 6, and 7. So, we'll kick around the quarterbacks. You mentioned the trade today. Teddy Bridgewater, another new home after a year in Charlotte with the Carolina Panthers. He now moves to the AFC West and has a shot at trying to become the starting quarterback with Drew Lock and others as far as the Denver Broncos are concerned.
Yeah, Carolina moving him to Denver for a 6th-round draft pick. And Bridgewater's days were numbered in Carolina anyway after the Panthers acquired Sam Darnold. So they move on from him. And the next question is whether Denver will go with Locke or Bridgewater, and what they will do in the draft. They're insisting that they're still in the quarterback market.
If they select a quarterback, you got to think they're getting rid of one of those guys. It wouldn't be probably Bridgewater, just bringing him in, because the quarterback room would be awful crowded as far as Denver, Colorado is concerned. So we'll see. We'll see how it plays out. I don't foresee Denver moving up in a big splash, but could they take somebody later on? Maybe somebody that's under the radar a little bit. We'll see out there. 319-366-1600. Text line available to you out there. Phone line, same number, 319-366-1600. As we come your way here at just about 10 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock today. Do have afternoon baseball going on right now. Mark, the Twins cannot blow this, can they?
It's not over yet, Scott. So there are two outs in the Cleveland half of the ninth inning. The Twins breaking out today, leading 10-2 again in the bottom of the ninth inning. Six home runs.
Mitch Garver with a couple.
Byron Buxton with a day. 5 for 5. A home run, 2 doubles, 2 singles. Having a heck of a year as we start out here. But the Twins were in much need of a victory, and looks like they're going to get one. One other game in progress right now, the Miami Marlins leading Milwaukee 6-2 in the eighth inning. About to get underway, Cincinnati at the Dodgers.
Yep, and then coming up later on this evening, it'll be the red-hot Kansas City Royals taking on the Pittsburgh Pirates later on. That will be from PNC Park in Pittsburgh. Boston.
Pirates a little warm, too.
Yeah, Pirates playing good baseball. Mitch Keller, by the way, on the mound tonight. The Cedar Rapids native, the Xavier product, as Pittsburgh will look for win number 13. They've been one of the very surprise teams as far as the National League is concerned. Yankees will be at Baltimore. Toronto hosts Washington tonight. It'll be Tampa Bay hosting the Oakland Athletics. Cubs, 4 in a row they have lost. They will be in Atlanta one more time to take on the Braves. The Cardinals at Busch Stadium will take on the Philadelphia Phillies. It'll be the Angels and the Rangers. Detroit and Chicago tonight on the south side. Mariners and the Astros. Diamondbacks will host the Padres, and the Giants will take on the Rockies. Last night on the south side of Chicago. By the way, Carlos Rodon on the mound tonight. He of the 3-0 record with a 0.47 ERA and a no-hitter in his back pocket for the White Sox. Last night, for those of you keeping track in baseball, as far as the Tony La Russa watch is concerned, La Russa with kind of a bonehead move, or non-move, if you will. He apologized after the game. Much of the media in Chicago. White Sox fell to the Tigers last night 5-2. Lucas Giolito sailing along and then got into the seventh inning. And in Giolito's words, nothing left in the tank going into the seventh inning. And I'm not going to place it all on Tony La Russa, who kept him in there. And eventually Detroit came back in that seventh inning and won 5-2. Lucas did not obviously say something to La Russa, or if he did, Tony completely ignored it until it was too late. But La Russa did not see a lot of signs that Lucas Giolito had lost it. And again, Tony La Russa apologizing in the news conference after the game last night at Guaranteed Rate Field.
Well, it's incumbent upon the pitcher, or the player, for that matter.
Or the catcher.
To go ahead and inform the manager, you know what, I don't have much anymore. And maybe La Russa did ignore that and took a gamble that Giolito could continue for maybe another couple thirds of an inning, but that didn't work out that way. But we conversed earlier. I don't think that's near as bad as what Rocco Baldelli did two nights ago with Jose Berríos on the mound. And I think it was the fifth inning, got in a little bit of trouble. The pitching coach came out, Wes Johnson, and had a visit with him. And then there was, you know, a couple, three, four batters later, and out comes Wes Johnson again. And you know what that means? You got to change pitchers. And Baldelli got up off the bench and said, "Sorry, Jose, you got to leave the game." And Berríos was incredulous, as I would be. When your manager can't keep track of mound visits, that's a problem.
Yeah, that one is a little bit harder to swallow than the Tony La Russa situation is concerned. 319-366-1600, if you would like to weigh in. Neither one is a very good look out there, but I think even I think the Twins win that Derby, though, Mark, as far as bad looks are concerned.
Yeah, and Baldelli apologized, as he should have, for what was kind of a bonehead move. And I suppose those things happen during the course of 162 games, but they shouldn't. That's very basic baseball.
Yeah, very, very true. Especially, and even in 2021. I don't think there's any doubt about that. But, yeah, a couple of gaffes
The first thing I thought was maybe the first visit was to check on an injury or a hangnail or whatever it may have been, and maybe even the second one, but that wasn't the case.
No, it was not. No, it was not. And 319-366-1600 as we come your way here on the Wednesday edition of the Gym Class right here on KGYM. A little bit of baseball talk right there. As you mentioned, the Twins with the lead right now. And a little draft talk, and we can talk more about the draft coming up in a little bit, especially as far as the quarterbacks are concerned. And we'll hit that a little bit with Chris coming up during his segment as well as talking baseball. Byron Buxton, man, is setting the world on fire, though.
Yeah, if he can stay injury-free, it looks like he's in for a big year. He's already got, 8 home runs and 14 RBI, 8 doubles, a couple of stolen bags. And, again, 5 for 5 today. His average is up to .438. And it's great to see. Twins haven't had a leadoff guy get 5 hits in a game for about 12 years. Denard Span, the last one to do that. So, good to see for one game anyway, but it's been a frustrating season for the Twins.
Still early, though. Still early.
That's all we got going for us, Scott.
Twins have won. It's over.
Put it on the board.
Alex Colome didn't even have to come in.
He started, Scott.
I know. And I, as we talked earlier today, I knew that the Twins should not have picked him up. White Sox got very lucky last year with how well he did. And then I said, not that Liam Hendricks is setting the world on fire right now as far as the White Sox bullpen is concerned. But, yeah, we'll see about it. 319-366-1600 as we come your way on the Wednesday edition of the Gym Class right here on KGYM. Wanted to get to this. Very interesting here. I found it very interesting anyway. And that is the fact that college baseball and college sports in general, interesting moves in the last couple of days as far as commitments are concerned, if you will. This caught my attention yesterday, and want to make sure I find it here. And there we go. Okay. Young man yesterday out of Central Iowa, Joey Oakey is his name, made the usual Twitter commitment as far as to his athletic future in college is concerned. And said, committed, Heller ball. I said, oh, okay, Iowa baseball. Let me take a look at this. Okay, I'm reading here. Thanks to the blank, blank, blank. Thanks to blank, blank, blank. All my coaches at Game Ready and my Ankeny Blackhawk coaches. And I go, wait a minute. I know there's Ankeny Hawks and I know there's Ankeny Centennial Jaguars. I don't know of any Ankeny Blackhawks. And that intrigued me. I looked into it. Turns out that the young man is only a ninth grader and has not played a high school baseball game as of yet and is committed already to Rick Keller and the Hawkeyes. That intrigued me a little bit, Mark, because it seems that each year more and more programs dive a little bit more into the pool as far as signing or at least getting commitments from players earlier in age. And I must say this one shocked me a little bit here. And it's nothing against this young man. I have no idea how this guy might be the next Ken Griffey Jr. I don't know. But just due to the fact that I saw the picture and I go, wow, he looks very young. And then I read on and has not played a game yet as far as his high school career is concerned and is already committed to play college baseball. I guess this is the wave of the future a little bit more. We've always seen a few of these, but I think it's becoming more and more prevalent. And now here you go with the Hawkeyes.
Well, it's the world in which we live, Scott, I think. And I'm sure other programs have done similar things.
Oh, yeah.
That Rick Heller has. And no knock on Iowa baseball by any means. But it just begs the question, when is it too early for college programs to offer a guy and for a player to accept? This comes, you know, and not too long ago, in the last couple weeks, Iowa State women's basketball coach Bill Finley offered a seventh grader.
Yep.
And that young lady tweeted out her, you know, a commitment to Iowa State. You know, a lot of things can change between your seventh grade year, your ninth grade year, and your senior year. Are you going to get any better? And Scott, and you and I have seen so many players who were knockouts in seventh and eighth grade. They never develop. They didn't have the proper attitude.
Or everyone else caught up to them.
A variety of reasons. Other players caught up to them. And the thing about this is that it's not binding. You can offer someone in, you know, ninth grade and they can say, yeah, I'm committed. But until you put your name on the dotted line or have an opportunity to do so, it's not binding. But again, it begs the question of how young is too young.
Very true. Iowa State also, I believe there was a young man yesterday, another ninth grader, football player, that said that been offered by Iowa State football, very honored to do so, yada, yada, yada. And again, we're getting down there. I guess how young is too young as far as these things go?
You're going to see recruiters out at the Metro Youth football fields?
Well, if you've got somebody that's a son or daughter of a player, of a two former pro athletes, I'm never going to say never, Mark.
Matt in Fairfax on the text line, which is 319-366-1600. Matt weighing in on the subject. I hate the young commitment stuff. Let these kids grow up. 80% of the time, the kid hits puberty first and dominates, and by his junior year, they're not special anymore.
Thanks, Matt. And there are exceptions. I mean, you can tell, yeah, and this young man may have great ability. I'm sure he does. And Rick Heller knows his baseball, no doubt about that, just as this example is concerned. But like I said, we've seen a lot of them that have flamed out once they've gotten into school, into high school, and starting to go through 10th and 11th and 12th grade and things like that. And like you said, it's not a binding commitment as of yet. It's just an oral commitment as far as going to play for Iowa baseball. But yeah, this is. When is young too young?
It reminds me, Scott, when I was coaching the young guys, I think maybe 13 years old, we were playing in a tournament, and I'm not going to say where because it's in Eastern Iowa and they may know this guy. I don't know, but we were facing a pitcher who I tell you no lie, the guy was 6'1 and was shaving.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And this is a 13-year-old kid who just, I think we might have beat him, but he had a big-time fastball. And I'm saying, God, what's going to happen to this kid in 5 years? I don't know. I don't know what happened to him. But a classic example of a kid growing up faster than the other boys and, and dominating it at a very young age.
Yeah. 6608 on the text line weighing in. Does a kid in middle school really know where they want to go to college? Plus, who knows in 4 or 5 years if the coach will even be there?
Great point. Great point.
Yeah, very, very good look point. 0835, easy to look good in eighth grade when others are still developing. The real test is how good you are in the junior and senior years. Should not be allowed to get commitments until junior year. 0835, best of luck to that. It's, like I said, it's going to probably even go younger. Like you said, seventh grader. Was offered, and that's not the first. I think Damon Bailey is still isn't that still the record with Bobby Knight in Indiana basketball with Damon Bailey, sixth grade, I believe it was, when he offered him the scholarship, ended up going to Indiana and playing basketball. Obviously, was okay, was a good player, a good solid college player, but never what everyone had him set out to be, though.
No, it's a perfect example, but I think you're right about that time frame, and it was kind of eye-opening when Bobby Knight did that. Bailey, I think, went on to win Indiana Mr. Basketball, but had an okay college career. And we talked about, you know, Iowans like Jeff Horner and others who were offered and committed maybe early on, eighth grade, what have you. But for a long time, it was unusual. I know your classmate and the guy covered a lot of games, Al Lorenz, and he committed, what, after his sophomore year? I thought that was pretty early.
True. True on that. 319-366-1600 as we come your way here on the Wednesday edition of the Gym Class here on KGYM. Thanks for joining us. Do appreciate it as we take you through the 3 o'clock hour here right now. And on the text line, again, 2712 brings up the point, eighth graders can play varsity baseball and softball in Iowa. And I am going through there and seeing. If they played last year as an eighth grader, they did not give credit to their coach. So just throwing that out there. We're not singling out this individual. It's just it's unusual. That's all. It's just very unusual to have somebody commit that's not even played a game yet, as far as high school is concerned. I'm doing some research as we speak, Mark.
Yeah, and a great comment by our texter in terms of the fact that who knows if Rick Heller is going to be at Iowa or Bill Fenley is going to be at Iowa State by the time these kids it comes time for these kids to sign a letter. There's so many variables, but I'd underscore the fact that these commitments, while interesting, are not binding.
Very true. 319-366-1600. And let's go to the phones here at 327. We are going to talk to Chris Liss of rotowire.com here in just a couple of minutes. Let's bring in Mike and Marion, who wants to weigh in on this and talk about rules for extending offers and whatnot. Mike, good afternoon. How are you?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Doing good.
How'd your bowling end up?
Not bad. Not bad. On the left side of the ledger, which is always good.
Oh, that's good. Hey, as long as it did. So Scott ended up with about a 190 and Mark ended up with about a 203.
You're living in the past, Mike. I retired and Scott was at 200.
Oh, I believe that. I subbed against him that Wednesday night league, and he's averaged 200.
We got better this year. We got better this year.
What I would think is on this here, you know how you have to be 18 and 21, you know, to either vote or buy cigarettes or buy liquor?
Mm-hmm.
Put 18. You got to be 18 before you can be contacted and have the parents put some teeth into it.
Yeah, well, that would be mainly senior year. And I will say this to be fair, that that's pretty late in the process. Maybe, you know, it's not going to change no matter what we say. But I would like to see here's the deal. Everybody knows who's on the radar when they're 14 and 15. We know that. Yep. We know that. Do they talk to them? Yes. Can they offer them? Yes. Doesn't happen very often. I would say, you know, like Mark said when talking about Al, and as an example, that was sophomore year, as well as the other, as the Linmar guys as well, that Bob Landis had. And they were all big time being recruited at that time when they were sophomores in high school.
If they even know it to 16.
Yeah, I mean, that's fine with me, but at least for maybe, and again, we're speculating here, but as far as offering, yes, I'd like to see it, but it's not going to happen.
Well, if the state would get together at the NC2A and work something out, why couldn't they put some teeth into it?
Yeah. Because they won't, they've got a lot of things on their plate.
Oh, I know that.
I'll say.
It's just that, you know, you weigh this big thing like Indiana with Bobby Knight and Alabama down there with football, you know, the big names, you know, you weigh them in front of a young kid. It's going to, you know, really, is he really going to know what he's getting into?
Yeah, I mean, it's how early is too early and how young is too young.
Yep.
And you're right there. Hey, good to hear from you, Mike.
Thank you, sir. You guys have a good summer.
All right, you too. 319-366-1600.
Go ahead.
No, I am done, Mike. Or Mark. Mike and Mark.
Well, I appreciate Mike's comment, but the age thing, it simply won't work because of personal experience. My grandson played 3 years of varsity football, and he has not yet turned 18. And his career is over. He's not going to turn 18 until he enters the University of Iowa. So that age thing won't really work. And there's plenty of other kids in the same situation that, you know, they were young for their grade. And if you establish an age limit, you know, that's going to it's going to help some and it's going to hurt others.
True. Yeah. But again, what age is too young? That's kind of what we're kicking around here today as far as that with that commitment is concerned. And again, it's not a binding commitment. It's just an oral commitment, and we'll see what plays out. And hopefully Rick Heller in Iowa, Rick's still there, and this kid is going to be a four-year All-Big Ten player. Let's say that.
That'd be the best outcome.
319-366-1600 here at 332, coming up on 333. Let's go ahead and take a break. We'll come back, and when we do, we'll talk to Chris Liss of RotoWire.com. Plenty to talk about with Chris. We've got, of course, fantasy baseball. If you have a question, 319-366-1600, and we kick around the NFL draft a little bit. We know who Jacksonville is going to take. We think we know who the Jets are going to take. We're a little less knowing who San Francisco is going to take, but they're going to be quarterbacks. We know that. And we'll talk about their fantasy value coming up with Chris. So stay with us. More to come. It is Gym Class for this Wednesday. Coming your way right here on KGYM.
A mother used to wear a crisply pressed dress, ride along on Sunday drives with the family, and serve meat and potatoes on the everyday china. Now a mother lives in leggings, hauls kids around in the SUV, and serves quick, healthy meals on family-friendly plates. Yes, moms have changed a lot over the years. But her teen and Stalker Jewelers still knows how to make them happy on Mother's Day. Since 1947, the Dickens family has been offering lovely gifts and helpful suggestions to children, and sometimes dads, to make Mother's Day especially special. This Mother's Day, come to her teen and Stalker and choose beautiful colored stone jewelry, spectacular diamond earrings, radiant pearls, or some other gift that mom will treasure. Stop and see what's in those famous windows at her teen and Stalker Jewelers, corner of Dubuque and Washington in downtown Iowa City. Then step inside and see Willa, Terry, Tim, or Kate. One of them is always there.
Baseball players may not get style points for home runs, but baseball bettors do. New BetMGM customers can turn $1 into $100 when someone goes yard during a game. Sign up for the BetMGM app using Hanson 100, H-A-N-S-O-N 100. And if you place a $1 moneyline wager on the Cubs or Braves, you'll get $100 if either team hits a home run. And after the baseball has left the park, there's no reason to leave your seat. Discover BetMGM's innovative parlay selection builders, daily promotions, boosted odds specials, and more. Download the app or go to BetMGM.com and use bonus code HANSEN100, that's Hanson with an O, to win $100 when you bet on the Cubs or Braves and either team hits a home run. Swing for the fences with BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks. New customer offer, paid in free bets. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older. Iowa only. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-BETS-OFF.
Reimagine your outdoor living space with Alexander Lumber and Trex. Choose the enduring beauty and durability of Trex composite decking, engineered to eliminate time-consuming maintenance while offering superior scratch, fade, and stain resistance. You'll spend way less time taking care of your deck and a whole lot more time enjoying it. The experts at Alexander Lumber can't wait to help you create the deck of your dreams. Stop and see them at Alexander Lumber, 4340 420th Street, or Answers by Alexander, 1534 South Gilbert Street, both in Iowa City.
I should have been a cowboy.
Toby Keith and his Country Comes to Town Tour. Thursday, October 14th at the Extreme Arena, powered by MediaCom.
How do you let me know?
Toby Keith. Tickets on sale Friday morning at 10 at the venue box office and extremearena.com.
Whiskey for my man.
Toby Keith and his Country Comes to Town Tour. Special guest, Matt Stell. Thursday, October 14th at the Extreme Arena, powered by MediaCom.
White and blue.
Produced by Pepper Entertainment.
Tickets available on Friday down at the Extreme Arena for the Toby Keith concert. And, of course, we've got your chance to win with Todd and Alex. Another chance today between 4 and 6 right here on KGYM. And if they do it during the 5 o'clock hour, they'll do it during KGYM's Drive Time, driven by Linder Tire Service with three locations in Iowa City, North Liberty, and Grinnell. And you can drop off your car in for service, but appointments are recommended and easy to make at LinderTire.com. That's LinderTire.com. And going to talk a little fantasy baseball with you coming up here in just a moment. One more, 6328 on the text line. Don't go by age. Go by they must actually be in high school as far as recruiting is concerned. I did some checking, Mark, during the break. The young man, I assume, would either be at Ankeny or Centennial, was not on last year's roster. So if he was eligible to play as an eighth grader, he was not on one of those rosters. I don't know if he's from a high school that is around Ankeny or not. I didn't do that much checking, but at least he did not play for those two teams.
Thanks for that update, and I agree with the texter. That's a good idea.
I'll get a little wrestling tidbit coming up in just a little bit, but we want to bring in our friend Chris Liss from RotoWire.com joining us right now, and his appearance brought to you by I'm On Communications, the official sponsor of all things fantasy sports right here on KGYM. And great to hear from Chris once again. And Chris, haven't talked to you since the Chiefs looked horrible in the Super Bowl, and since baseball got underway, but hopefully everything's going well for you.
Things are good for me. I won a little bit of money on the Bucks, I'm sorry to say, Scott, but I lost a lot more when I bet the Niners the year before, so maybe and I'm not going to feel that great about it. And, I'm going to be 50 years old on Monday, I think I was in my 20s when I started doing this show.
Wow. Welcome to the club, by the way.
Oh, I know you're old because you must have been old when I started doing this show.
I think I remember 50. I don't know. I'm not sure.
319-366-1600 if you have a fantasy baseball question for Chris. Probably could maybe field a few questions as far as football, because we know who's going to be the first pick coming up tomorrow night for the Jacksonville Jaguars. And if you are a big Trevor Lawrence fan and have your sights set on taking him with the first or second pick in your fantasy draft coming up, and you want to Chris to reassure you that you're doing the right thing, maybe you can ask that question. I don't know.
I don't know much about college football, but I'm a little bit. I'm getting into it. This is the time of year I start to actually pay attention and start to look at some of these guys. So, you know, I'm really curious about Kyle Pitts, where he's going to go. The quarterbacks besides Lawrence don't interest me as much because for fantasy, you know, the chances that one of them is good right out of the gate is kind of slim, besides Lawrence.
True. And who knows if Trevor's going to be great to start with anyway, but he's going to get the keys, I think, to Jacksonville's offense.
Yeah, and they added Marvin Jones and their DJ Chark, and Laviska Shenault was taken, you know, with the second round pick last year. So they're, you know, they have some weapons too.
Chris, you're on record as saying you don't watch the NFL draft and that you don't really pay much attention to college players. My question to you is, since you're in this fantasy business, when do you start evaluating the guys coming out of college?
Right now. right when they land on their teams. When I love the results of the NFL draft. My point was, I just don't need to see a show about guys walking up to the podium and hugging some guy who's really the enemy, right? I mean, Goodell represents the owners. Owners try to keep the money in their pockets, not pay the players as much. So they got to hug this guy. It's super fake. And I don't care about that. Just fast forward, email me the results because I'm very interested in the information, but I don't see why it's such a compelling show. So I don't watch the draft. I just find the results out. And then once I know which guys are on which teams, then I start to think, okay, where's this guy going to slot in? What's his role going to be? What can he do? And I start looking at, you know, highlights, and I start looking at, you know, the 40 times and there's no real 40 times this year though, which is kind of a different thing because there's no combo.
True. Very, very true out there. We'll get to a football question for you coming up in just a little bit. But let's start with baseball because that is underway. We're 3 weeks into it as far as fantasy baseball is concerned. And some interesting trends early and some surprises out there team-wise, individual-wise. And, first of all, Shohei Ohtani for the Angels has been terrific, whether he's hitting the ball, hitting home runs, pitching, whatever the case may be. And good take if you got him early this year.
Yeah, I mean, I'm pushing. And this does not exist, to my knowledge, in our industry, a league where he can count as a pitcher and a hitter simultaneously. In the league I'm in, you have him, but you got to choose whether he's a pitcher or a hitter. And I'm telling my guys, because we have a commissioner service at RotoWire, build a game that you can use him as a nine category player, because that would be the coolest thing ever. Right? I got a guy, you know, the other day he struck out nine, got a win, but also went 2 for 3 with 3 runs scored and 2 RBIs. So I mean, that's incredible. He got a win, 9 strikeouts and runs and RBIs. There's nothing like this. So does he go first overall, or is first overall DeGrom, or is it Tatis? But this becomes a really interesting thing. So Ohtani's just unbelievable. And, you know, I think Babe Ruth is the last player to do what he's doing.
Hopefully, Chris, you still have some shares of Byron Buxton. He's off to a great start put up big-time numbers today.
Yeah, I only have one, which is unfortunate because I always was overloaded with him and he would get hurt. But, I mean, he's a great player. I mean, this guy is an MVP-level player. He's got his power, his bat speed, and his exit velocities are up at the top of the league with everybody. And he just can't stay healthy. But if he stays healthy, and he's been even banged up this year, and he's playing gold glove defense at the most premium position, the shortstop and center field, this guy, he and Ohtani, these are MVP candidates.
And I know, you know, looking into your crystal ball, that you had Yermin Mercedes doing everything he is doing for the Chicago White Sox right now, correct?
Yes. It's funny. I didn't have any Mercedes, and I'm not going to make a car joke. It's too obvious, but I have Zach Collins, and if you're any White Sox fans out there, he's their other backup catcher. So I had the wrong backup catcher on the White Sox, but at least to my credit, I had a backup catcher on the White Sox.
True. Just enjoy what Mercedes is doing right now, because it's not going to last. That's kind of the way it is with a lot of players of that same ilk.
Yeah, I mean, usually if a guy comes out of nowhere and starts killing it, it's temporary. But Jose Bautista, this guy who was 29, journeyman, goes to the Blue Jays in 2010. He starts hitting home runs in April, and everyone's like, yeah, it'll regress. And he finishes with 54 home runs. and is ends up being one of the most feared sluggers in the game for about 6 years. So you never know. It's definitely a long shot, but it does happen now and then.
In the category of temporary, is Akil Badu of the Tigers temporary?
Probably. I mean, he may play most of the year. I mean, they've got to develop guys. I think he was a Rule 5 pick, and he was on the Twins. Mark, aren't you a Twins fan?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah. So he was in the Twins organization, and they just have so many prospect outfielders, they let him go. I mean, you never know. I don't think he's really going to be a major factor, but he could be. He's all right.
You have a question for Chris? Let us know. 319-366-1600. Talking baseball right now. We'll get to a little bit more football coming up here in just a little bit. On the flip side of guys like Mercedes, you've got, of course, Mike Trout is off to a tremendous start. Acuña has been terrific for Atlanta. Tape measure shots, just hitting the ball all over the place. So far for the Braves, and he is not a surprise. He's a guy that you should take very high in your draft.
Yeah, Acuña went first overall in some. Jacob DeGrom was. The thing about DeGrom is when usually you have the best pitcher, which is like Kershaw, and then you have the most power pitcher, which is like Syndergaard or somebody. But it's rare where the guy who throws the hardest is also the best pitcher. And when that happens, you have a guy who just is untouchable, like DeGrom. Even though Corbin Burns is off to an equally good start, DeGrom is just such a monster. But Acuña, power and speed, Tatis, as long as his shoulder holds up, same thing. Fortunately, in my big stakes league, I have Juan Soto, who's like Trout. I mean, he's incredible, but he's hurt. So it's been a little bit painful. But Trout's had a monster start. And, you know, those top hitters were there for a reason. And while, you know, there's small samples early on where there's random stuff like Yermín Mercedes happens, the top guys, they're there for a reason.
Man. I've got a couple football questions, Chris. The first one is,
sure,
there's a handful, maybe a half a dozen veteran quarterbacks who are going to be wearing a different uniform this coming season. Who's going to benefit the most from a fantasy standpoint? Is it Stafford?
Well, Stafford, yeah, with McVay's offense. I think Stafford is going to be good, and I think his receivers are going to get an upgrade too. So I think that one's for sure. I mock Sam Darnold because I'm a Giants fan, and all these know-it-all stats guys kept saying, oh, that's ridiculous to take Barkley over Darnold. So I laughed that, you know, Darnold's not even on the Jets anymore. But actually, despite my mocking him, I kind of like him in Carolina because they just traded Teddy Bridgewater, so unless they draft somebody, Darnold will probably start. And those receivers are good. DJ Moore, Robbie Anderson, who Darnold has played with before, Christian McCaffrey comes back. And I think those coaches are pretty good offensive-minded coaches. So I think Darnold, you can't be excited to take Darnold, but I think he's interesting this year.
Yeah. How about Bridgewater going to the Denver Broncos? What do you think? Is he going to be the starter there, or is Locke going to be the guy?
I mean, they're both bad is the problem, right? It's like two bad players. You know, Bridgewater's a fine backup. You know, Locke, I don't even know how long he's going to be in the NFL. But they are loaded at receiver. People don't realize, they took Jerry Jeudy last year. They have Cortland Sutton, who's a good receiver, coming back. They have Tim Patrick, who's good. They have Noah Fant, who's, you know, a first-round tight end. And they have K.J. Hamler, who was like a top 50 pick, I think, last year, and can fly. So they are loaded, but they need a quarterback, and I just don't think Bridgewater is the answer. I think it's 50-50 who wins that battle between Bridgewater and Locke, though.
Chris, 17-game regular season, what effect, if any, will it have on fantasy?
I don't like it. It's annoying. It's I think that, eight home, nine road, and nine home, eight road games, that's bad. I think there's going to be more injuries. In the NFL, I think probably 13 or 14 is probably ideal. 14-game season, just with the war. It's a war of attrition, right? I mean, the teams at the end of the year that are healthy are the ones that win. So I don't like it. I don't know and obviously you'll have your finals in week 16, and then you'll have your finals in week 17. Week 18 will be the bye, where the one that doesn't count. I don't think it affects fantasy that much. I just think it's going to be, you might see teams, doing more committees and, kind of not giving running backs 35 carries in a little bit longer season. I don't know. It won't be a huge deal, but I'm not a fan of it.
Chris Lewis from rotowire.com joining us here, 319-366-1600. If you have a question for Chris, I agree with you about the injuries. I think that's going to be the number one factor with an extra game. Obviously, you have you don't like to see it, you don't like to say it, but there's more opportunity now with 60 more minutes for the year of getting hit and possibly getting hurt, especially a big name person out there that is the stalwart of your fantasy football team. So I think that's the one residue we are going to see with another regular season game. We're going to see more injuries.
Yeah, like obviously they're going to make a little more money, and that's why they're doing it, which is fine. They're a business, but that's the only reason to do it. There's no other benefit from it except that.
No, very much so.
Chris, you as a Giant fan, pretty good reports on Saquon Barkley and his recovery from injury. You expect him to be back to his old self?
I do. He's a great player, and when he's healthy, he's good. The Giants offensive line has not been good for a lot of his tenure in New York, but I think Andrew Thomas, their fourth overall pick last year, is a bit of a bust, but he was playing a little hurt, and I think he's going to get better. He got a little better in the second half. And they may take I don't know who they're going to take at 11, but I think they may take an offensive lineman. If they do that, they may actually have a good offensive line. So I'm bullish on Barkley. And we'll see. It's up to Danny Dimes to not, you know, get sacked every time he goes back and fumble every time. And he's got to get rid of that ball. But the team's not in horrible shape.
Yeah. Let's get a baseball question in for you here, Chris. 0623 asking, how long should I wait to start George Springer? He's off the IL today.
I'd put him in. I think he's playing today. He's leading off. And yeah, he could be rusty, but you never know. Sometimes guys come in and hit a couple of home runs. So if you have the lineup slot, I would use him.
Well, another baseball question for you. Are we starting to maybe see a little – and it's not going to be like during the days of Ricky Henderson and Vince Coleman and things like that. Are we kind of starting to see maybe a slight renaissance as far as the stolen base is concerned this year?
Interesting question. I kind of seem to notice. I have to check. We have it on our site at RotoWire, the stats of stolen bases. Like you can actually see league-wide, and I'll look it up while we're talking. But I feel like there's been a few more steals, and you know, batting average is an all-time low right now. So that means unless you're hitting a home run, it's hard to score runs. And maybe because of that, they're starting to, you know, maybe have to manufacture some runs. So I'm looking at this. No, I lied. No, I'm wrong. Least stolen bases per game ever since 2014.
But we're getting some guys that are putting some numbers up at least.
Well, it's weird. It's like Ramon Laureano had 8 like right away. Right? And that's crazy. And you know, Trey Turner has 5 and a bunch of other guys do. But actually, as a whole, there's 0.46 stolen bases per team per game. And that's gone down almost every year. And for example, like in 2014, it was 0.57, which doesn't sound like a lot, but it's, you know, it's 20% more, you know, it's a lot more. So it's been going down actually.
Chris, how silly is it that Bumgarner doesn't get credit for a no hitter?
I mean, you know, it's one of those things where it's an argument, but it's like, we all know the facts, right? The facts are it was a 7-inning game and he didn't allow a hit. It's what you want to name it, no hitter or not no hitter, but no one's arguing like what actually happened, right? We all saw what happened. So it's more of just a definitional argument. I would give him credit for it. And unfortunately, I had him in the league, but he was on my bench.
Oh.
he had gotten shelled the week before, and I was a coward. And he's at Atlanta, and I thought, you know, Atlanta's a pretty good hitting team, so I'm going to see if he can right the ship and then start him next week. And, of course, he threw a no hitter.
Yeah, he did. One final football question here for you, and I know we're not going to put your feet to the fire as far as who they should get, but 1960, wondering about the Detroit Lions. They have a new quarterback now with the trade, and what do you think? The Lions, do they need a little firepower for the new quarterback to throw to?
I mean, their quarterback is pretty bad, and they took on this contract because they got all those picks for Stafford. I think, you know, I saw Jalen Waddle, wide receiver maybe. They do need receivers because they basically just, you know, Galladay is gone, Marvin Jones is gone. The whole receiving core has basically been gutted. I think they got Breshad Perriman, but I could see them getting one of those receivers like Jalen Waddle, Jamar Chase, if he's there. I think the Lions are, I think this is just a throwaway year, and they're going to get another, they're going to look to get a top three pick next year.
They have TJ Hockenson, though, so.
They do. No, he's good. That's about what they have. They have Hockenson. They have, they don't have much, and Goff is pretty bad, and, you know, the defense isn't good. It's a tough, it's not a great situation that franchise is in.
Yeah, very much so. Hey, Chris, great to talk with you again. Keep up the great work at rotowire.com. And if people want to check out what you guys have as far as rotowire.com, let them know a little bit about the website before we let you go.
Yeah, we have all our NFL projections. Those will be updated a lot after the draft. So you can rank all your teams, see who's ranked where, quarterbacks, running backs, wide receivers. Rankings are already up and write-ups for a lot of them. rotowire.com/trial. It is a free 10-day trial. You don't need a credit card. You get to see all our rankings, everything you want in 10 days. If you feel like subscribing, you can subscribe in earnest or that or not. But again, it's rotowire.com/trial.
All right. We'll talk to you in a couple weeks, and happy birthday.
Thanks. Appreciate it, Scott. Talk to you in a couple weeks.
All right. Chris Liss of rotowire.com joining us. His appearance brought to you by I'm On Communications. We'll take a short break, come back, wrap things up for a Wednesday after this here on KGYM.
Save big money on your next project with 11% off everything now at Menards. Landscape now and enjoy all summer with our great selection of landscape blocks. Whether it's a spacious patio, a decorative walkway, or flawless landscaping, you'll find the perfect blocks for your project. Save 11% on all concrete landscape and patio blocks. Get 11% off everything now at Menards. Good through May 1st. Savings are mail and rebate. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Save big money at Menards.
From the gridiron to the nine iron, experience the thrill of the game anywhere in Iowa with Elite Sportsbook. You can now sign up for Elite Sportsbook on your phone anywhere in Iowa and receive your first bet risk-free, up to $500. Just visit EliteSportsbook.com to create an account, and your first bet is on us, up to $500. It's time to play your game with Elite Sportsbook. For a limited time only, valid only in Iowa. Must be 21. Visit EliteSportsbook.com for terms and conditions. Gambling a problem? Call 1-800-BETS-OFF.
Couple minutes remaining here in the gym class. We'll talk a lot about the NFL draft coming up tomorrow with you on the program as the first round comes up tomorrow evening. I wanted to get this little piece of information today. Cody Goodwin from Hawk Central and the Des Moines Register had this, covers wrestling. Interesting transfer today, Mark. Graceland College and their two-time NAIA national champion Brennan Swafford is going to transfer and wrestle at Iowa for, I think he's got 1 year remaining, might be two. He spent 3 years at Graceland. He's a native of Minneapolis, went undefeated last year, has won the last two NAIA national championships for Graceland at 100 and, I believe 174. And he's going to be moving into the to the Iowa wrestling room. Very, very interesting.
I think that's Nelson Brands and Abe Assad's way, if I'm not mistaken. And an interesting move that I don't recall a similar situation that Iowa wrestling making. Maybe ever. I don't know.
Four-time state medalist at Minneapolis and two-time finalist. Did not win a state championship at Minneapolis, but did win two NAIA national titles. So we'll see how he fits into the room. And but just very interesting. A little recruiting news today. So a little draft news coming up tomorrow. Coming up next, Todd and Alex. The Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn is coming your way next right here on KGYM. And Zach, real quick, what time is the tee off tomorrow?
Zach tees off at 12:11. Central time with Ryan Palmer and DA Points. And the mini tour star, virtual star that we talked about yesterday, Michael Vasaki, will tee off at 8 a.m. We'll update you tomorrow.
Yeah, he's got that early tee time, so we'll know how his round went. All right, stay tuned. Todd and Alex coming your way next on KGYM. Have yourselves a great night, everybody.
Designer face masks, DIY haircuts. In a world full of things you never thought possible, here's one more. Now you can get the same high-quality insurance from Allstate.